everybody. Bill Faith here. Welcome to the Paid Traffic Show. This is all about Google Ads, Facebook Ads, and anything that you'd be spending your hard-earned dollars on to drive traffic, to drive clicks, and increase conversions for your business. I am joined by Mr. Mark Petrie, coming to you live from Los Angeles. Mark, how are you today, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic, Bill. Thanks for asking.
How about that game last night? What did you think about it? Did you watch it?
I'm not a big sports guy.
You're not?
Nah, don't watch any sports.
I think we're done here. Well, we got Big Tim Swart, my boy, behind the camera asking our questions today. He's a little bit distraught because Alabama got their ass handed to them last night. I wouldn't know. I was watching a much bigger event going on. The Preds were in Toronto taking on the Maple Leafs, and they won 4-0. So that means it's frosty time. Nobody outside of Nashville gets that. All right, guys, most importantly today, this is all about debunking myths for Google Ads and Facebook Ads. And I am really excited to go over this stuff. I think Mark is too. See how enthusiastic he's looking there in Los Angeles. I mean, he's totally fired up. Because there are so many things, so many wives' tales about advertising online that most of us believe, but they are not true. So without further ado, we're going to dive right in. And Tim, what is our first question today?
All right, myth number one, it doesn't work.
What say you, Mark?
Okay, so yeah, I see this all the time in groups, and I've even heard it from new clients that I've used Google Ads several different times. I've tried it myself. I've worked with different agencies. And you have to ask yourself this, would there be millions of people on the platform if it didn't work? Probably not. Some of the biggest brands use Google Ads to make money. So yeah, sure, it doesn't work if you don't know how to set it up correctly. And what do I mean by that? Well, first off, selecting the right keywords, finding out who your target audience is and setting, you know, the proper radius for the campaign. Writing good ad copy is incredibly important because that's going to get you a higher click-through rate, meaning more people clicking on your ads. What that's going to do is bring down how much you pay for a click. Because you have to remember this, the more relevant clicks you get for the least amount of money, the more profitable your campaign will be. Because it goes like this, it goes from clicks to leads. And so the lower your cost per click and the higher percentage of those clicks that are relevant clicks are going to lead to a lower cost per lead. And if you have a lower cost per lead and they're good leads, that's going to give you a lower cost per client acquisition. So Google AdWords definitely does work, but you have to know how to set it up correctly and do all those aforementioned things.
So I mean, I think that last part that you said, Mark, is really the most important thing, right? So most people think, hey, I see all my competitors using Google Ads. I see these huge companies, I mean, everybody from Under Armour to, you know, Pepsi, they're all using Google Ads. To your point, they work if they're using them, or they'd be testing and they would fail and they wouldn't. But then they go in and they don't spend enough time, and by time I mean like months, not like hours or days or weeks, learning how to execute it correctly. So they go in and they launch their first ad set and then they fail because, you know, they're paying $7 a click for a $1.50 keyword and they're getting absolutely no conversions. The problem that happens when you're trying to manage your own Google Ads and the reason they don't work is, one, you got to know your buyer is good or better than your competition. Two, you got to be able to do keyword research and, you know, using some pretty extensive tools and invest some significant time. Then you got to be a great copywriter. Then you got to be a great sales page or landing page builder, right? You got to be able to do great CTAs. And then you sure as heck, based on what that call to action is going to be able to sell and sell quickly. And if you can't wrap all those things into one, you're not going to be successful. Agree?
100%, Bill. That's everything.
Bada bing, bada boom. Tim, what's up next?
All right, Bill. Myth number two, internet users don't click on ads.
Yeah, this is another one I hear all the time. And usually the justification is, well, I never click on the ads, so no one must ever click on the ads. And that's just
Well, hold on. If I don't click on the ads,
right?
Then it doesn't work. Correct?
No, obviously, right? Kind of like, well, I don't use Bing Ads, so who uses Bing Ads? Well, people do use Bing Ads, and people do click on them. ads.
Look, motorcycles don't work. I don't ride a motorcycle, so it doesn't work. You have no clue what happened in sports yesterday, so you don't know that Alabama got crushed by Clemson last night, right? So the number one thing is we got to put our personal preferences aside. And I know you hear this all the time, Mark, because I hear it as well with anything that has to do with marketing. Email doesn't work because I don't open emails anymore. You know, Google Ads don't work because I don't click on them. I've been tracking. I have bought 7 things since Christmas Day. Since Christmas Day. Not pre-Christmas, since Christmas Day. 7 items based on Facebook ads. Literally in like 13, 14 days. That's crazy. So don't you think a lot of it has to do with us thinking that it doesn't work because we don't use it?
Yeah, so I think that's part of it. So me, myself, sometimes I do click on the ads. It really depends on, you know, what the copy says. And they've done studies on this stuff, and it's about 50-50. You know, 50% of people do click on the ads and 50% don't. You guys have to realize the common person, your average person that isn't a business owner, that's never used Google Ads, they don't even know that when you click on the ads, that advertiser has to pay money. I was just having dinner with my family over the holidays. And, you know, of course, tell us about what you do. And I said, well, I do these listings. And so whenever someone clicks on them, you know, you pay a few dollars to, you know, up to $100, depending on what they're advertising for. And they were all shocked. No one ever knew that. And I think sometimes we get in our little bubble of fellow business owners and we know this stuff, but we forget that the common average Joe has no idea about this stuff.
Well, I have a term for that, Mark, and I call it the curse of knowledge. Even if you're not a Google Ads expert, but you've owned a business and you paid somebody or dabbled in Google Ads, you know what that means. But if you've never done it, you potentially have no idea. And those could be the people that are clicking on your ads. I know a lot of people that have no clue. They can't differentiate between an ad and an organic SERP result. So they just go to the top one and they start clicking. So at the end of the day, myth busted. Google Ads do work. Sometimes even banner ads work, actually, if you're on the right source. Tim, what's up next, buddy?
Bill, myth number 3, you cannot track ROI with Google Ads.
Bullshit. You can. I mean, we're just going to have to call BS on this one, right, Mark? I mean, you can track ROI with Google Ads and Facebook ads and banner ads and email marketing and organic, you know, search traffic, any type of traffic that you're going to be utilizing to generate through a campaign or just to an individual sales page. But it does get a little bit complex. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with your business if you want to track ROI. So one of the things that's harder, and, you know, Mark and I are working on a client's campaign together right now, and it has there's an elongated sales process, and there could be multiple people involved, you know, to tie into that sales process. When that happens, and that's in a different industry, but when that happens, that becomes more complicated to set up. But if you have one phone number, one website, one traffic source, and this is what I think is really important, I believe, and you don't really have to do this, but if you set up Google Analytics, UTM tracking codes, right, and you set up individual landing pages or sales pages per campaign, and then if you use the same traffic source to the sales page and then use something like PhoneWagon, right, to track phone calls if you're booking over the phone, then I think you're going to be able to get an ROI. But still, because your process is not e-commerce, for you guys, you're taking a phone reservation, or even when you're doing an online reservation, I have yet to see one of the softwares in this industry allow us to get accurate transactional financial data. And the first one that does, I will become their biggest net promoter, their biggest advocate, no question. So you have to manually attribute the financial gain, what you're booking, through the source to be able to keep track of it. I have not found a way to automate it in the limousine industry. Have you, Mark? There's a little bit of work.
That's a very, very good point, Bill, and quite a large opportunity, because I have the same problem. I want it to be easy for my clients to see their return on ad spend, and it's not easy, and it takes a lot of manual tracking. which with like e-commerce, that's not an issue. You can track your return on ad spend. But for something like this, it makes it a lot tougher. But look, even if you don't do it long term, at least do it for a while. You really want to figure out, especially in the beginning, what your return that you are getting a positive return. That's the number one thing, especially when you're starting with a new agency or if you're building the campaign yourself. You really want to be tracking your sales, because if it's losing money, why continue to do it, right?
So here's what I think is really interesting. I'm probably going to go over a couple of seconds on this segment, but I've never said this publicly, but if somebody's watching this and you truly want to track your return on investment for your ad campaigns, build out your fleet page and start actually selling a product via Shopify. So think about that. Instead of having products or selling hoodies or t-shirts or phone cases or whatever, put your vehicle in a service type and actually have a dollar amount on it, right? And put it into a product in Shopify. So a guy like Mark and a guy like me can track that e-commerce transaction, so you know what return on investment you're getting. And you can have packages. Hey, you want 3 hours? There's not that much diversification. We're not talking about airport transfers all over the world. But specifically, if you're in that retail side, and if you're in the retail side of the business, you have to continue to reacquire your customers more than on the corporate side, because there's more lifetime value, right? Build your website and put your services inside products inside Shopify. So that way we can track that all the way through an e-commerce transaction, and you'll see what your ROI is. It's really that simple. What's next, Tim?
All right. Myth number four, Mark, display ads don't work.
Yeah. So another thing that I hear a decent amount, display ads work. You just want to be targeting. So when I use display ads typically for the limousine industry is for retargeting. I typically don't use display. I've never tried using display ads just without retargeting, just display ads themselves. I think they typically lend themselves a little more to e-commerce, because sort of like Facebook ads, when someone isn't actively searching for something, then I think display ads can work. But you always want to be retargeting with your display ads, and you want to set it up so that if someone was on a specific, service page or maybe a specific vehicle page, you want to set up retargeting so that that specific, whether it's a service or vehicle, they're retargeted by that ad. That's always going to work better than just having one ad in the remarketing campaign that follows them around. So for instance, if someone is on a page that has party buses, you would retarget them with party bus relevant content. And so I think they can work great. I just think they're typically set up incorrectly. And the cool thing about Google is you keep that cookie, I believe you can keep it for 540 days. And so, well, what does that mean? Well, what if someone has a birthday or anniversary? Wouldn't it be great if we could retarget them 10 months from now with our display ads to show them, here's an idea for your upcoming wedding or anniversary. You were looking for it last year, so there's a very good chance they might want to do the same thing this year if they had a good time.
Well, I think what's really interesting based on what Mark just said is that, he would be running display ads, based on retargeting. And one thing that I would add on to that, if it was my campaign, I would take everybody that hit that sales page off of my Google ad, and then I would show them display ads and retargeting, but I would send them to another sales page. And that could be a duplicate, whether you're using lead pages or in bounce or even in your website. Just put a no rel follow link on it so you don't get impacted with negative SEO. But I would put that over into another sales page, and then I would go and retarget them through Facebook ads. So now you can see which one is actually converting. Is it the display ads, or is it going to be the Facebook ads? And you have an idea, but you got to understand that if you do go from sales page to retargeting on display to another sales page to retargeting on Facebook ads, that buyer's deeper into the sales process. So it's not 100% scientific that display ads are converting at a lower percentage than Facebook. So that's why Mark and I keep talking about it. You got to continue to test. You can't just take something out of the box and think that it's going to work, online. So continue to test all of your iterations. Don't give a shit what the agency tells you. you know, go in and make sure that you're testing different variations of your copy, of your sales page, of your retargeting sequences, display ads. You know, we haven't even talked about Bing ads. We need to discuss that next week, Mark. I really want to dive into Bing because I think that's the redheaded stepchild that most people aren't taking advantage of. Would you agree?
100%. And they say, who uses Bing? Just like who clicks on ads.
Just people that want to make money. That's it.
Yeah, well, typically it's someone who's bought a Windows computer that's come pre-installed with Internet Explorer. And then the default search engine for Internet Explorer, of course, is Bing. And we have to remember, a lot of people aren't that tech savvy. And most people, when they're on Bing, think they're actually using Google because they think Google's the Internet.
They don't know the difference, exactly. So we'll get more into that maybe next week. Tim, what's up next, buddy?
Mark, here's a good one. You need a big budget for Google Ads.
Okay. Huge budget, right, Mark? I mean, if you don't have like 10 to 20 grand a month, you might as well stop watching the show. Don't ever think about Google Ads again. Just kidding.
Yeah. So I have clients that spend $400 or $500 a month and still get awesome results.
How? How do they get awesome results with $400 to $500 a month? Is that really possible?
So it's really it's all based on the context. So let me explain. So I think I did a video on this the other day. If you're in, let's say, New York, and you're offering like a car service, JFK, Newark, and LaGuardia, I know those clicks are going to be possibly $4 to $5 each. And so if your budget is only $15 a day, you might only get three clicks a day. That might be one lead a day or even one lead every 2 days. However, if you're in a smaller market and let's say you do party buses, let's say you're in Cleveland and you do party buses, well, I know clicks there are a dollar a piece. And so $15 a day, that gets you 15 clicks. And if we assume those clicks are converting at 25%, a 25% conversion rate, that means that person's getting four leads a day for $15 a day, which is 120 leads a month for about $450 to $500 a month. So it really depends on your market and the type of service you offer. But even if you do offer an airport car service in a very large city, you can still get results. So it all just comes down to how many clicks you're getting. And so a certain budget will get you a certain number of leads a month. And that's essentially how it works.
I agree with you. There's not very many people that have too large of budgets in the limousine industry. I mean, Adam Pierce just commented on my business page, my Bill Faith business page, that they've increased their business by 12% for one of their brands this year using Google AdWords. And I promise you, he's probably not spending $10,000, $20,000 a month. I see the average budget kind of like what you were talking about in the industry, around $750 to $1,000 a month on Google Ads. Hey, Lexi, thanks for joining us. Miles, Elon, Atsev, how are you? Ali, Amos, how are you guys? Thanks for jumping in and joining us today. Mark and I really appreciate it. So if you're just diving in, Mark just got done explaining why you don't need to have a huge budget on Google AdWords. And, you know, it kind of fortifies what my methodology is. It doesn't matter if you're on Google, if you're on Facebook, whatever it is. I believe you should start with $100 and test it. The hard part is you in the last segment, you guys have to track your ROI. Mark and I can show you how to do it, but it does take a little bit of a manual effort. You know, I don't believe people should just be jumping in with $1,500, $2,000, $3,000 a month in ad spend in any platform unless that's truly discretionary income. But if you test it and then you get proven results, then you can continue to reinvest. So great segment, Mark. Really appreciate it. What do you got for us, Tim?
Bill, this one's for you. Instagram is only for advertising to millennials.
So let's debunk another myth. This is a huge one, right? I mean, I think, Mark, you're a millennial, aren't you? You're what, probably around 29, 30 years old?
35.
So you're still a millennial. I think millennials now go up to, and I hate that term millennial, but it goes up to like 37, 37 and a half years old today. So think about that. A lot of people my age or older give millennials a lot of shit. Well, if you're talking about a 37-year-old grown man that you're calling a millennial, that is not a 20-something anymore. That's not an early 30-something. These are CEOs. These are presidents of companies. These are directors of sales that are out there. These are entrepreneurs. These are business owners. They are on Instagram. I actually put a post into the Limo Growth Group this morning asking people to follow each other and share their Instagram handles. And I doubt very many of you knew that there are over a billion, that's with a B as in Bill, over a billion active users monthly on Instagram. That's like data from Facebook in 2012 when everybody was migrating over to Facebook. I don't have the specific data. I wish I would have had time to grab it, but I promise you, and I'll get some numbers before next week, the percentage of those billion active monthly users that are under the age of 35, that are over the age of 35. I'm sure it's skewed. You know, let's just say it's 60% or 70%. That means there's still 300-400 million active users every month that are going to be over the age of 37, because that's what the millennials classified for. That means that your destination management coordinators, your executive admins, you know, even some of your C-suites, definitely your business travelers, you know, like me, are going to be on Instagram. They are using it. It's one of the fastest growing social media platforms that is out there. If you're going to use it, you just need to make sure that you understand the visual context that goes into managing and running an Instagram account. Mark, are you on Instagram? We got like 10 seconds in this segment.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram, but I never go on anymore because it's a huge time waster, in my opinion.
Wow, no Instagram for Mark, no sports. I don't think we can be friends anymore, Mark. You're out, buddy. Tim, what else we got?
Facebook ads, myth number two, using manual bidding is best.
Using manual bidding is best. So it's interesting. A lot of people kind of get tied into manual bidding and the targeting and going way too deep and thinking that they know more about how to set up ads than the algorithm does. And this one is really, really simple. There could be nothing further from the truth. Probably the less targeting that you put into a Facebook ad, the better off you're going to be. Now, you do need to have some segmentations from, you know, male and female. You need to have some segmentation sometimes based on income or job description in your targeting. But don't go overboard, because one of the things that people do is they start here and you might have, you know, literally 5 million people to target. And then that drops down and you narrow it with two or three other, you know, a job description and, you know, gender. And now you're down to 1 million. And now you go in and you narrow it down to a 25-mile trade radius and you're down to 50,000. And then you narrow it down to income or home value, because you only want those high-end, you know, wealthy clients, and you only have 5,000 or 10,000. Now your cost is going to go up because you're so narrow, but you're leaving so much of that pie out there. Look, there's people that live in $250,000 homes that own $70,000 Mercedes, just like there are people that live in $1 million plus homes that own those Mercedes. There are people that make $150,000 a year that have a $5,000 a month travel budget because they're a salesperson, versus somebody that makes $1 million a year as a CEO that may only have a $2,500 a month travel budget. So let Facebook knows more about us than probably any other item outside of the NSA or, you know, the Kremlin, I don't know, or Donald Trump, who knows, than any other entity in the world. Let them optimize your ads for you and just put in some basic targeting and then re-optimize based off of the engagement with your ads. So let Facebook do the bidding. The automatic bidding from Facebook is better for 99% of you than going in and doing manual bidding.
Last myth of the day, video ads deliver the best ROI because they're cheap.
There's no question they're cheap, little Timmy. And I know you're upset today, and I hope you're okay. If anybody out there is an Alabama fan, if you can just throw a virtual arm around Tim today, he's back there struggling because he went to Alabama in his Crimson Tide. So just got to take this day in and, you know, give him a couple of jabs here and there. You know, Timmy, the thing about video ads is they are the cheapest form of advertising based on being able to get views, right? So you can get 1 to 2 cent views on video ads, but that doesn't always mean that you're going to get the best return on investment. Sure, it's cheap to deliver the ad, but you still need to test. Chris, I wish we would have, you know, rehearsed this and you could have test flashing on the screen, because what we don't do is we don't test. We go the cheap route so we can save money on our budget, as opposed to going in and using alt text or using an image and testing images. Because it's not just about, just like with Mark on Google, it's not what just the cost per click is. It's all about the conversion and the ROAS, the return on ad spend. If I can put in $100 and get $110 out, I know that I can scale to spend $10,000 and be able to get $1,000 out for investing 10, right? So every 10,000 I put in, I pull $11,000 out. That means I make $1,000. I got a 10% return on ad spend. I'd much rather have that be 20, but even at 10, I know it's profitable. So don't default to video ads. Do they have high engagement? Yes. Are they the lowest cost per view, the lowest cost per click? Yes, but that doesn't always mean that it's going to give you the highest percentage of conversion or the lowest return, the lowest cost for return on ad spend or the highest profit for return on ad spend. What say you, Mark?
Yeah, so just like with Google, I spoke with a client a few days ago. He said, back in January, I was getting, January of 2018, I was getting clicks for 15 cents each. And right. Now all of a sudden I'm spending $3 a click. So I had to explain to him, sure, you were getting clicks, but you were getting irrelevant clicks. And more than 90, it was like 97%. It was horrible. All of his clicks were completely wasted. And so it's not just about getting clicks, guys. It's about getting relevant clicks for people that are looking for exactly what you offer, exactly where you offer it. So look, if I had to pay $20 a click, but I know every click's going to be a lead, okay, sure, I'm going to do that. So you can't focus too much on your cost per click, because if it's too low, it very well could be that you're getting a ton of irrelevant clicks.
I agree with you. And to kind of wrap up today's show, one, we debunked 8 myths for you from Google Ads to Facebook Ads. But most importantly on this last topic, if you just put in $100 and you test to get that $10 out, he who tracks your return on investment, he who tracks your ROAS, your return on ad spend, is going to be the winner. Because many of you have high performing ads that are running on, it could be on any platform, but when you don't know your return on investment, you are scared to increase your budget. And when you are scared to increase your budget, it's because you don't know if you're profitable or not. And if you don't know, you are scared, right? So then you're not going to put any more money in. So if you do anything, please forget about what it costs you to acquire a lead. Forget about the cost per click and just focus on your return on ad spend and figure out a way to track that. Just like I talked about with the different sales pages, setting up your Google Analytics with UTM tracking tokens on the links that you're using, you know, in your ads and your sales pages. And then also if you're taking a lot of phone calls, use PhoneWagon. And, you know, we've been promoting PhoneWagon. I mean, Mark uses it. We use it. We use CallRail, but it's way more expensive. For phone, to implement PhoneWagon, you're only paying most of you are going to pay $25 a month. That's a small investment that I would definitely want to make, so that way I can know who I'm converting with on the phone. So that's going to wrap up today's show. Thank you guys for joining Mark and I. If you are interested in listening to this on podcast, The Paid Traffic Show is everywhere that you're listening to podcasts. So if you don't have time to watch it, you want to listen to it while you're driving down the 405, you know, or heading down to sunny Florida, you know, or coming to Lab Live in about 13 days to see Mark and I, because Mark's going to be doing individual and small group audits of your Google Ads. And I've got one of my good friends and paid traffic experts, Sally Hendricks, coming in to do Facebook stuff, and Mark's going to be holding a workshop. Then we'll see you here in Nashville. But don't forget to subscribe to one of those podcasts on Apple, iTunes, Google, everywhere that you're listening to it. And Mark and I will see you next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Central for the Paid Traffic Show. Peace out, Mark.